Many years ago, I used to read a number of books, and they were on the subject of church growth. And of course, if you're going to be a pastor, you think about that a lot, and especially because certainly the Lord wants the gospel to go out. But I've been thinking more about that in recent years with a whole different perspective, and sort of using 2 Timothy 2 as our base. That's always a dangerous thing to hear, isn't it? When someone says something like that, you say, oh, he's going to go everywhere. Now, when he says he's going to use that as his base. But somewhat topical today, I would like to talk to you about growth and what it means. You know, God created, as we read, the world. It's not just a certain part that he cares about. In Abraham, the Lord said, all the earth would be blessed. We read through the prophets and we see that God cares about the nations. Back in Old Testament times, it wasn't just Israel that God cared about. Christ died for the sins of the world. And then the Lord tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just yesterday morning, there was an article in the paper about a denomination that's trying to grow. They have no particular creed. They accept everything, which ultimately means that you have to be committed to nothing because everything brings contradiction. And yet they are seeking growth. What I would like to do is contrast what I'm telling you today with that and contrast it completely, because what I'm talking about today is not growth for growth's sake or numbers to be a larger group, but what we are talking about is the growth of the gospel, the truth, a message, a basis for what we proclaim and for what we live. The gospel is this, that sin has separated us from the God who created us. The God who is holy and good, we read of in Genesis chapter 1. Each day he said he saw what he had made and it was good. But when we disobeyed God, it was not so good. We were alienated from the life of God through our very sin. And with our sin came death. And that is a problem. Not just in our understanding, but as God looks down, he understands it far better than we do and sees the awful and eternal consequences of our sin. And so Christ came. The perfect and the holy Son of God came to this earth that we might be saved. Jesus Christ experienced separation from the Father on the cross for us. That whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord, that if we would put our faith and trust in him, we might find forgiveness and cleansing, we might receive his righteousness. And then Jesus Christ defeated death by rising from the dead, and now he offers life to all. That's why we talk about growth, because we want that good news of the gospel to go into all the world, because Jesus Christ himself said that he was the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. And the apostles said that there is no salvation in any other name but in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we take that name with love and humility to all the world that they might meet our wonderful Savior, that they might hear the good news. Gospel means good news. It's not to be kept a secret. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then, let me add this, we're not talking about a numbers game. It's not about outcomes, it's about absolutes. Ministering in the Church of Jesus Christ is not about being successful, it's about being faithful. And you see, when we start saying we're concerned about our outcomes, which many do and many boast of, then suddenly we're able to compromise the truth in order to achieve our outcome. But what we are seeking to do for Jesus Christ is based upon the truth of the gospel. Now, this morning, I'd like to talk about growth, and this is the way I want to do it. The very first thing I wanted to address is this. You and I personally need to grow spiritually. Oftentimes in the New Testament, when it speaks and uses the term growth, It's talking about our own individual lives. 2 Peter 3:18, I believe, is in your bulletin. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not all of us want to grow physically this year. Our young people do. They'd like to be a little taller. Personally, I'd like to ungrow a little bit in the next year, physically. But spiritually, every one of us need to experience growth. Growth in grace. Now, as I said, we read this text from 2 Timothy. And I look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, and Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, I remind you, first of all, he said just before that, he says, I recall how your sincere faith, he said in verse 5, I recall how you came to know the gospel and receive Jesus Christ. But then he said in verse 6, I remind you, fan into flame that gift of God. Burn a little brighter for the Savior Jesus Christ. Or chapter 2, verse 1, which Peter read for us, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We might say, be stronger than you have been. What does it mean to grow spiritually? I think of the fruit of the Spirit and those qualities. It means to love more than we did in the past and love purer than we did in the past. It means to experience a greater and a higher joy than we have in the past. It means to rest in a more secure peace than we have in the past. It means that when we deal with one another and we deal with others, that we are more long-suffering than we have been before. We're more gentle. We're good, goodness. We have greater faith and trust than we've had in the past. We're a little bit humbler, meeker. And we're willing to discipline ourselves and show that self-discipline that we haven't. These are all characteristics of the Christian life and the Christian walk and the filling of the Spirit. You see, when we're talking about growing, it's a very, very practical thing that spiritually there will be change in our lives. Anytime there is to be improvement, growth, becoming more like Jesus Christ, or just any personal objective that we have in life, physical, whatever it might be, there is something that's required, and that is growth requires training or discipline. I can't think of any time when or any way that we can experience improvement without some sort of discipline. So here are the two disciplines that I challenge you with today. The first one is for your personal growth. You need to spend time in the Word of God. Oh, you had to know that was coming. But secondly, you need to spend time in prayer. And both of these disciplines are going to require planning and effort on your part. For your time in the Word of God, I say get a plan. It should be somewhat challenging. Not the easiest. On the other hand, it should be somewhat reasonable. If you have great difficulty reading, don't set the bar too high. But friends, if it's just a matter that we don't want to take 10 minutes or 15 minutes or maybe 15 minutes twice a day, if that's the problem, then we need to set our bar a little bit higher and discipline ourselves a little bit more. I will say this, in setting a plan for reading God's Word, it needs to be measurable. I don't find myself getting anywhere without setting a goal and measuring it and having a goal for 08. If you're able at all, and you are able, 90% of you are able, spend time and read through God's Word. Read through your Bibles in this year ahead. You say, well, I started that last year, and I got this far. You're probably saying Leviticus. Some of you are saying Ezekiel. And I got this far, and I stopped. Then here's my challenge to you. Pick up your Bible where you know, even if you got discouraged, that's no reason to stop. If you're really discouraged, go to the New Testament and keep on keeping on. But I would say this, go to that place where you stopped and start in again and move on. If you're unfamiliar with the Scriptures and you've just never read much in the Bible before at all, then I would encourage you, start in Matthew, read the New Testament through first, and then go back and read through the Scriptures. Maybe if you have to, you're going to say, well, I'm going to read through in 2 years, and that's going to be my goal. But I do encourage you, don't sell the Lord short here. Get a plan, challenge yourself, measure it. As was read for us at the beginning at the service, Tim read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. How can we avoid that? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, here is the way we do it. We get this plan, and part of that is going to be setting a time, finding a place, and telling a friend. Talk to somebody else about what you're planning to do, and check up on each other. Final thought on reading the Word of God in this brief challenge. It's not a matter of just reading it to know more. In Scripture, the opposite of ignorance is not intelligence. The opposite of ignorance is obedience. You understand that? When we all get to heaven, the Lord's not going to give us an IQ test and a Bible quiz to get in. That's not the point. When the books are opened, they were judged on their works, and our works reveal what's in our heart. And you read it that you might be changed. And as you open God's Word, it's not just a matter of gaining more knowledge that we might be smarter, but it is a matter of gaining more knowledge that we might be more obedient. And you have to know it in order to obey it. Now, I must say, I find it easier to discipline my life for the reading of God's Word than I do for the second challenge in personal growth, and that is spending the time we need to spend in prayer. Once again, I think we have to write something down. And I would write this down. I would keep a list, and somehow we need to set aside a regular time. We are talking to our Almighty Father, so there ought to be some time every day for praise. We are talking to the Savior who died on the cross for us. There ought to be a time of confession. We are talking to the eternal shepherd. Why not bring him our requests? Because the Lord has told us to bring our praise, to confess our sin, and to bring our requests before him. We must spend time in prayer. And you do need a list, and I encourage you to write down and that list and to pray for one another and even for the church family. Part of taking the pictures is putting together a directory, and in the directory, we're going to have the pictures, and I would encourage you to use your directory to pray for one another on a regular basis, that you'd pray for me and pray for others around you. So time in the Word, time in prayer, personal growth. I don't offer you today a new technique. It's not a miracle pill that you take and suddenly you've grown, but it's discipline. And without it, you and I will not grow. If our church is to be a good church, we must be in the Word of God and we must be in prayer. That's why we're here. That's our mission. That's what our missionaries are to do. This is the heart of our existence. You need a Bible calendar. You need a prayer journal. You need to be accountable. Dan Bisbee challenged me to memorize Scripture. So Dan and I have been working on Scripture memory. And so now he calls me once a week from Senegal to see if I've memorized my verses for the week. And I had to tell him last week, you know, I had the verses, I had gone over them, but then when we were traveling, I always had them with me. And I have them right here. And they're folded up, and I kept them in my back pocket. I found that no matter how long I sat upon them, that didn't work. I didn't know them. We need to open our eyes and open our minds and our thoughts and meditate upon God's Word that it might transform us. Personal growth. Second point is this, ministry growth. 2 Timothy 2:2, after Timothy grows, it says, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. What would please the Lord, I'm convinced, is that the ministry of this body, the ministry of this church, would multiply in this coming year. That we would affect the lives of far more people than we have in the past. Our impact should expand. And that will only happen as more people are prepared to minister. So here's my little challenge. If you have a ministry, if there's something you're doing for Jesus Christ here, you need to train others to minister alongside of you. If you are not actively involved in a ministry, you need to find a place to serve. We all need to stop doing things alone, and we also need to stop being inactive. Now, who can serve in the church? Well, look what Paul told Timothy to look for. He said, entrust these things to reliable men, faithful men and women. Paul told Timothy to look for them. He didn't say, go out and find some skilled people. He didn't say, go out and find talented people. Because what's far more important than skill or talent is character and conviction. The number one thing in training workers and servants of Jesus Christ is to find men and women and young people of character and conviction. When we train people for ministry, you bring someone alongside of you to help with your Sunday school class or whatever ministry it might be at this church. What we are trying to train people to do is not how to do a job, but how to be what God wants them to be. See, if you pull someone alongside of you to help with your Bible study, it's not the techniques of teaching Bible studies that is most important, but the primary topics of your conversation would be, say, how's your Bible reading coming? How's your prayer time coming? How's it going in your personal walk? And help them to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ, building character, building conviction. We need people to come alongside Sunday school teachers, ushers, elders, deacons, kitchen workers, Bible study leaders, maintenance workers, whatever it might be. And our goal is to find those who will repeat the ministry and then will disciple others. There are a couple things that we really want. We need the kind of people that are so committed to Jesus Christ that first of all, they show up. Yeah, that's pretty basic, isn't it? But that's very important. First of all, they're so committed that they show up and that they grow to the point that they are self-starters. Nobody has to push the button to get them going, make the phone call, send the letter. They are self-starters and they're looking for a place to serve. You know, we need to develop such character in our people and one another so that if God took away our job or your job and moved you to some other place, that when you arrived there, the first thing you would do is look out for a church that was preaching the Word of God, and then you would find a way that you could get plugged into that ministry and you would begin serving as soon as you possibly could because you show up and you're a self-starter. That's the character. See, that's the conviction and the belief in what you're doing. We can all, well, pretty much learn the skills. There's some things I can't learn. There's the thing that you can do and some things I can do that maybe you can't. But the important thing is the character and conviction. That way, if God moves you, you serve. If a new church is being started and we are able to send off 20 or 30 people to help with a new church, you say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to serve. If God calls you to another land to serve, you can go there and do exactly what you've already been doing here because you're ready and prepared for ministry. Now, just a little thought that comes to my mind, and I hope I'm not too far off base. But part of this is just being the kind of people that want to serve rather than expecting to be served. That's what we train our children to do, right? We try to train them, even as they grow up, that they don't look for someone to wait on them and serve them all the time, but they grow to the point that they can serve and help other people. And I need to be that kind of person, and you need to be that kind of person. When you walk downstairs, go through the kitchen, or when you're walking up to the church on a Sunday morning or any other time, if you see something laying on the ground, do you stop and pick up the trash so it looks a little better? Or do you think that's somebody else's job? I mean, if the garbage can is full downstairs, we don't have a designated official garbage can closer. You can empty that, and then you can just carry it out to the dumpster. We can all do that. Who is supposed to do that anyway? I mean, we can just do it. You know, if you're done with something, you don't just have to set it down dirty or leave a mess. You can just serve instead of expecting that a number of people are going to walk around behind you just trying to serve you. Now, those are very practical, physical things. But I think that same attitude extends to all of life and all of ministry, starting with the most basic of things. Bible study, who sets up? Who prepares? Who cleans up? Maybe you could do that. The nursery, who steps in? Who serves there? Maybe you could. I'm glad I can. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And every part of the body has a function. And if we looked at 1 Corinthians 3, which we will in coming weeks, we'll see that it all grows. Each part does a part, and it's God that makes it grow. God that makes it grow and brings life. I think that ministry growth in our church should be formal. We need to work on that. We need to prepare better ways to train one another to serve. And that's a problem that I and the elders have to take the leadership on. But it also should be informal, just the simple things, doing things with others. It ought to be part of our DNA that the ministry of this church expands. A third kind of growth, personal growth, ministry growth, conversion growth. 2 Timothy 2:10. Oh, I'll go back to verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, Jesus Christ. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The growing impact of the Word of God as the number of converts grows. What a blessing that is. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. For this we labor and suffer. I look at Paul's testimony, I look at his life and his compassion for the message of the gospel in Jesus Christ, and I see that he was willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. And I must say that if I really desire others to come to Christ, and if you really desire others to come to Christ, it's going to cost me and it's going to cost you. It will cost us our time. It will cost us our convenience, our comfort, our pride, our money. But money is probably the easiest of all things for us to give. It is a hard and humbling thing to be a faithful evangelist. God calls us to that ministry. It is the will of God that others hear the gospel and believe, and so we're commanded to go with the good news. We need to speak of all that God has done for us. We just finished a study in the book of Revelation. We see a coming judgment. Without Jesus, the world is lost, and we have the good news of salvation. What causes us to grow is we come together and we talk about what the Lord has been teaching us from His Word. The gospel is the center of our growth. And, you know, you read God's Word and you come and you talk with your friends about what you've been reading and how God has been working in your life. And what does that do for you? I mean, it builds you up, doesn't it? Of course it does. But the same gospel that causes us to grow wins the lost. And as we tell others the good news and the message and the story of the God who created this world and loves this world and the Savior who died for this world and rose again, they come to know the same Savior. And so it's that gospel that's at work in us. Now, churches can grow in numbers for a number of reasons. children are born. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We just read of it in Genesis chapter 1. Or a community grows, and even just around us, as a community grows, people might move into the area and decide to come to a church. Sometimes people like one church better than another, and they begin to attend it. All of that happens. But here's the key thing. We want others to hear of Jesus Christ. Our goal is that others will come to the Savior. It's not a matter of a numbers game. It's a matter of seeing others trust in Christ, and that is conversion growth. Now, I sum it up with one last word about growth, and that is gospel growth, I'll call it. I talked about personal growth, ministry growth, conversion growth, but gospel growth. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. There's an interesting phrase about growth in Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. In the NIV, it's not translated growth, it's translated increase, but it's the same word that we find other times translated growth. It says in Acts 12:24, the word of God continued to increase and spread. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? The word of God continued to grow and to spread. Gospel growth, spreading the good news. It's not about building a kingdom for me or for you. It's about building a kingdom for Jesus Christ. It's His word. It's His message. And it's going out everywhere, they said. It's growing and spreading. Now, that would be my goal in the year ahead. Now, this church is an important part of that. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul told Timothy that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I don't sell our gathering together short. It is extremely important. It is in the plan of God that we gather. The church is a protection from false teaching. I am always wary of people who don't have a church that they are accountable to. We need that accountability one to another. That's why I encourage you to bring your Bible or open your Bible when you hear me preach, because I am accountable to you. And you ought to look it up and make sure that's true. Just because I said it doesn't make it true. But I'm accountable to you, and we are accountable to one another. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. The church is built by Jesus Christ. The church is called the body of Christ as we present the testimony of Jesus Christ to the world. I'd say make this church a priority in your life. If you can't make this church a priority in your life, find a good church that you can and make that a priority in your life. But it ought to be important. You know, children can make it to school and then we can't make it to church. You know, we can't. Adults, we can make every other kind of meeting, but if there's any conflict, then suddenly we don't make it here. I believe that there's no important gathering than the gathering that is the church. And so we gather together and hear God's word. We pray, we serve, we witness, we baptize, we gather around the communion table. We are the church of Jesus Christ to this community. So let's build it up so that workers are trained and sent out. Other churches are planted and this church becomes stronger. Ephesians 4:15. Building up, being built up in the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, it's pretty obvious. If you've been around here long, we don't try to produce some, pour some miracle grow upon a church. I believe biblical growth is going to often be long-term and slow. There are times when God may send revival, and we see many coming to Christ, but for the most part, someone said that growth is like solar power. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. And as we proclaim the Word of God, it does happen. The dynamic of growth is the Word of God. There must be truth, doctrine, commitment to the Word. But growth is the work of God, not of me, or of you. Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel. The Father, the one who had the plan from the beginning of time. The Holy Spirit, we pray for his power to be unleashed. And so, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work in our church. Just one final word. For all that I've said today, I would encourage the men who are here to take everything that they've heard and multiply it times two. We really need men that are spiritually strong. Leaders in our homes, leaders in our church, stepping forward in ministry, stepping forward in service for Jesus Christ. I am very thankful for each one that God has given to us. But my prayer is that we all would grow together for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together now. Lord God, thank you for your word. It's hard for us to imagine men like the Apostle Paul, and yet maybe it shouldn't be, because we are called by the same gospel. We commit our lives in the same way. The same work is before us. The same Savior died for us. Lord, help us to honor you and to serve you and to praise you and to live for you. If it were not for you, we would be spiritually dead. And Lord, I pray even for each one before me today. We've been talking about growth, but there can be no growth where there is no life. And if there be some who have never trusted in the gospel, received the gospel, oh, may they today understand and trust and believe in Jesus Christ. And then for each one of us, Lord, lead us in the disciplines that we need that we might serve you, love God, and love the world. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.